This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Touchdown, Giants!
You're listening to the best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So the Abdul Carter number 56 thing is over. You know, LT said, you know, go get your new number and make history with that. We know that the number 11 and Phil Simms, that was not going to happen as well. I mean, it's amazing that Micah Parsons and Abdul Carter sat there and were like, oh, man, you're going to go get that 11.
This is damn generation, man. It's like they all think, like, hey, I accomplished something great at Penn State. You haven't done jack for the Giants yet.
You almost went with a D word there.
I saw
your lips going there. It
just annoys the hell out of me. You haven't done jack for the Giants yet. LT is a great all-time Giant. Phil Simms is a great all-time Giant. And there's a reason why their numbers are retired.
Yeah.
You go get yourself another number, son, and then you make that number famous, just like LT said.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't agree with LT on a lot of things. I agree with LT on this thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think anybody who has made their own name in the NFL would say exactly that. And it's surprising to me that, like, if you want to spin it, well, oh, Abdul Carter's paying homage to the Giants and their greats. Like, I don't see it that way. I mean, maybe he's misunderstanding what this is all about, but isn't that what you want? Did you want to be your own guy? You want to have your number in a ring of honor, your number retired. I want every kid to be wearing your number, not LT's number, because he was great and you want to be great. So,
you know, he showed great affinity for LT prior to the draft,
which was great. Nice.
Which was perfect. Yeah. That's respect. That's what you want. And then all of a sudden gets hooked into one of these podcasts and decides that, you know, and been led down this path, you know, of which number are you taking? I mean, it's, and then all of a sudden, you know, yeah, I'd love to have number 50. Yeah, yeah, you're not getting 56. You're not getting 11. So stop. You know, get some other number, make some other number what you want. And by the way, I will say that Ryan Fitzpatrick came out and scolded Zach Wilson for the number that he wants to wear in Miami.
Yeah, zero.
Yeah, and Ryan's very right. You know, Ryan's obviously a very smart guy, very deep thinking guy. Said, you know, you want to be taken seriously, don't wear that number. You know, don't wear the number. You know, you're trying to get your career back on track, don't wear zero. It's just not a good look. And he's right.
No, I agree. I mean, I thought they just gave it to him for the number of completions that he's going to have in Denver for the rest of his career. I didn't know if Zach actually chose it himself.
Well, in Miami, yes, I think he did.
I mean, in Miami, yeah. Zero completions in Denver and now zero in Miami. Yeah, so we'll definitely see if Abdul Carter gets a... I mean, I'm excited to see him play right off the bat because these edge rushers are guys that can make an impact week one.
Yes.
We've seen it before.
Not all edge rushers week one.
But they can.
Yes, some can.
It's one of those positions, though.
How did Kayvon Thibodeau
do? No, not so good. But... It's one of those positions that guys, that when they're
It's simple.
Yeah, go get the quarterback.
This is what you do. Just go get the quarterback. And like Will Campbell said, the tackle out of LSU, he goes, I could block a guy 40 times a game, and he doesn't do anything. But on that 41st time, he sacks and causes a fumble in the fourth quarter, and I'm the villain.
Yeah. Tiny arms, Will Campbell. Short arms. Alligator arms, they say about him.
Yeah, he seemed like a nice kid.
Very nice kid.
Seems like a Vrabel type of player.
Yeah. Why, he likes guys with short arms?
I guess so.
Yeah. But all the Patriots fans are a little bit worried about that. Might have to go to guard with those little baby arms that he's got, like right in here.
Yeah.
Doesn't have not a big wingspan.
I don't know. I watched a number of his highlights, and he handled a lot of the better pass rushers in college pretty easily.
Well, I hope so. He got drafted in the top five, for God's sakes.
Even with those short arms.
Even with those tiny arms.
Mark in New Rochelle. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy Monday.
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah, baby. I got a question, or it's my opinion. I've been watching baseball my whole life. I'm 60 years old. Is it me or is Dave Sims trying to establish himself as a premier broadcaster? Is he trying to not duplicate John Sterling? But it seems to me on every play, he's over the top. Am I wrong or?
Are you listening? So, Mark, are you listening to the games or just listening to the highlights that we play?
Both.
All right. Because that's.
I mean, he's good on the play by play. But these, like Aaron Judge, it's a 900-foot home run. You would think it's game seven, bottom of the ninth, and he wins the World Series. It's just like he's no Bob Costas. He's Bob no Al Costas. Michaels. You know what I'm saying? Listen,
well,
he's certainly not John Sterling.
But didn't you think that John, really? Now listen, just to defend Dave for a second, did you think John was a little bit over the top at times?
Maybe it's just something that we got used to as fans. I don't know. Maybe it's just giving Dave a break. I like Dave. Don't get me wrong. I like Dave. But it just seems like on everything, it's like Aaron Judge just tripped over the bag and you know, just stupid stuff.
Well, listen, Mark. I mean, I don't necessarily agree.
Man.
I like the fact that he's getting excited. There's two things that we had brought up. From a criticism standpoint, if you will, one was the hey now just feels weird in New York when Howard Stern did that for a million years. And also, I would like to hear him. He sounds a little too down when the other team does something. Like Howie Rose does that perfectly. When the opponent does something, Howie calls it with an energy where you can tell it's the opponent and he's not excited about it, but he does it with an energy where you're like, okay, he's still calling the game, where Dave sounds morose when the other team does something.
Well, just remember, you know, Dave Sims is 72 years old. He's been around the block. He's not changing for anybody. He's got his certain style.
Yep.
And the hey now has been a part of his style for a long time out in Seattle.
Yeah.
So this is the first time we've heard it here. Howard Stern makes a big deal out of it. And, you know, Dave Sims is a professional. So it would be one thing if you were like a 25-year-old and he was trying to cut his teeth and he was trying to get in like some of those guys last year and they were trying to do a little bit of the John Sterling stuff. There's only one John Sterling. And eventually you'll get more and more used to Dave Sims and you won't have, you know, difficulties of trying to figure out what he's doing and how he's doing it because he's done it this way his entire life.
Yeah, this is just the way that people are going to react to a new voice in there after many, many years of the same guy. And not everybody's going to get used to it as quick. But I don't think that he's over the top with everything. I don't believe that.
And he doesn't hey now every home run.
No, occasionally.
I mean, John Sterling had a tagline for every home run.
Yeah. But it's like, do you think Dave's over the top? Like, but the guy that you had there for a while was over the top, and you liked over the top with him.
The Yankees win! Right, I mean, oh, come on. Jesus.
Let's go to Tom in Merrick. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just want to get back to the draft real quick.
Yeah.
So as far as the Jets, one of their biggest problems last year was stopping the run, right? We lost all our big boys on the defensive line. And in this draft, that was something that, you know, it was like they really need to address that. And the damn Buffalo Bills three different times jumped in front of us and took three big boys.
I know. It's really unbelievable that they did that. So it was, and two of them were with the Bears, too, right? So, I mean, it was like the Bears were in cahoots with the Bills with this, jumping ahead of the Jets a couple of times. So, yeah, that was frustrating. I mean, and that's one of those things, too, that, you know, a first-time general manager in Darren Mooji, you know, maybe he learns from this experience, and in a couple years down the road, this doesn't happen to him. But that's a guy who's been very experienced in Brandon Bean. He knows he's got the Jets ahead of him. He knows what they want, what they're looking for, and he made sure that he got the guys and they didn't.
Yeah, he took that guy, Deion Walker,
from
Kentucky.
Yeah, they got us again.
Yep,
they did get you again. Assuming these players work out, but they took that. The kid is 6'7", 335 pounds out of Kentucky, the defensive tackle. They want defensive tackle, edge rusher, defensive tackle.
Mm-hmm. Big boys.
Well, they know that they have a great quarterback that can generate points.
That's right.
Now they got to backfill some of this defense and try to get this defense back up to speed and get into the top 10 in terms of rankings.
Yeah. I mean, but that's something when we talk about, all right, first-time head coach, first-time general manager. I know Rick Spielman's there to sort of advise, but, you know, I don't know how much involved he was in the war room, in the draft room. But that's one of those things where, you know, looks like a team in a division played you a couple times.
Yeah, they went, by the way, they went three defensive linemen in a row, and then two out of the next three picks were defensive backs. And then they took an offensive tackle and a late-round wide receiver out of Maryland, that kid Caden Prather.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's how you're going to have to, when you have a quarterback that's making as much money as Josh Allen does or Joe Burrow does, and you have to spread the cap around and you can't necessarily keep everybody you want, you got to hit in the draft on defensive players.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Heard a lot of you discussing it. Like I said, I just couldn't be here, obviously dealing with serious family stuff, but it pained me not to be able to be here and chime in on the Giants, especially with your take. So I was confused at how you were confused, BT, as to the Giants' MO. For me, this is exactly what I wanted to see. Forget what Jackson Dart would be aside, but you and I both discussed it on Thursday, I think, saying, how would you rank the quarterbacks outside of Cam Ward? And we mm-hmm. both said that we both like Jackson Dart
and Milroe.
Those are the two guys. So for the Giants to be able to stand pat at three and get their guy, Abdul Carter, and trade back in and finally show some guts and direction from Joe Shane and Dable. Hey, you picked a quarterback. Congratulations. It took you 4 years, but they finally did it. I could not be more thrilled with what the Giants did. Again, forget what Dart's going to become, but the idea now that they got the stud player in Carter
mm-hmm.
and they got their quarterback, that's the one that they identified. They went up and got him, and now we'll see how it plays out the rest of the way. But I love I don't think they could have had a better first round.
Listen, I think in totality, Giants did have a really good weekend. You went into what they needed. I remember saying this a week or so ago, obviously D-line, obviously a quarterback, and at some point, maybe a little reinforcement on the offensive line. But specific to the quarterback thing, see, I like Dart, as we discussed.
Right.
I was confused by, I'm not sure how convicted they were in that move, because everything else that they did leading up to it said that they wanted to go in a different direction. I felt like on some level that they were just checking a box. And when you think about this, now that doesn't mean that they didn't get the right guy. They may have. But Dable wanted him and Shane wanted Sanders. So, and there was apparently some real, you know, strong opinions from each person, which I respect, on who they valued more. So automatically, the room was a bit split. And, you know, I know the Rams were a threat, so you had to make that trade up there. I just feel like the Giants I don't want to say reacted to the noise necessarily, but I'm going to say it again, kind of checked the box. All right, everybody knows we got to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
You like him, I like him, let's take him.
See, I don't know the inner workings of it, but for me, if they would have stood pat, let's say, in the second round and took Tyler Shuck,
mm-hmm.
let's say somebody moved up aggressively, the Rams took Dart or whatever, and they took Shuck, then I could see your thinking. I still would have been, okay, at least they got a quarterback, but I could have seen that it was maybe just a check-the-box type move. And if Shane really did like Shador Sanders, he had to be kicking himself the fact that he could have had him in the, you know, fourth or fifth round, whatever it was, where he ended up going fifth round to the Browns. More on him in just a bit. But the fact that they showed conviction in trading up to get a guy that, whoever loved him, Dable or not, a guy that we thought was one of the better prospects in the draft, that to me, I love. Now we can finally, in year four, evaluate them. The one thing that I did hear that I agree with you on, this is not, we should be looking at this as it's year one or year two with Shane and Dable.
You have to.
Forget about that it's now year four. This is essentially year one or year two. Forget about everything that's happened in the past, and even I will raise my hand. Forget about last year's draft. We can reevaluate and see how they would have gone had they taken Bo Nix or Penix or McCarthy versus Jackson Dart. But for this year, it is Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston. Dart is essentially going to redshirt. I mean, that's how the structure is. They think they're going to go out there and win games. I don't believe it. I need to see it, but that's what they have to do. And then the following year, Jackson Dart should be starting week one, and then they have to win games. So everything is in place. The direction is in place. There are no more excuses. I don't want to hear, well, tough schedule, well, this or that. No, they are built to win now while also having their franchise quarterback in waiting for next year.
You know, I love the defense. I think the defense has a chance to be top 10. I mean, Abdul, and we get to the LT number stuff a little bit later as well, but Abdul Carter is going to be ridiculous, which will further unlock some of these other guys and just take them out of, you know, second and three, third and two. They just get run. The ball was run down their throat last year. They could not lean on their best weapons, which are pass rushers. Now that will change because you've got more of a defensive line in the interior, and I think the Giants' defense is going to be great. But here's the other thing that I'm conflicted with from a Jackson Dart perspective.
Right.
How's he getting some reps? I know he's not playing right away. You going to cut Jameis?
No. Well, no, okay. I think it's by design that they're going to have him just sit and learn. And
okay, so that's fine, but then you can't expect him to take the ball next year and just be your starter.
Well, that's
if he's the number two, I'm fine with that. That's what I mean. The plan seems scattered. Let's try to trade for Stafford. Let's gauge Aaron Rodgers' interest level.
Let's trade for Cam Ward.
Yep. Let's try to trade for Cam Ward. There were four or five things, and that's okay that transpire because you do your due diligence, but then I can't sit back and say, they are enamored with Jackson Dart
right.
when they tried to do multiple things to get somebody instead of Jackson Dart.
Maybe either way they got their guy, and it's on them to identify the right guy that was available to them. They got the second pick of a quarterback in this year's draft, okay? People have had great success with picking the second guy off the board.
Not everybody's second. Oh, you mean that it actually literally going second, not the second projected.
Exactly
I got
right.
you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. But they took the second quarterback off the board later in the first round. So not only did they get almost the consensus best player in the draft, they could have had Milroe or Shuck or Sanders. They chose Jackson Dart. So to do what they did to get Carter and Dart, I thought was a great first round, but now the hard part. And I'm one of these people. I know you were saying about defensive identity. TK, I heard a lot of people saying, you don't get identity in the offseason. That's something that develops in season on the field. I thought their identity was going to be defensive last year. It was not. One player, as great as I think Carter can be, is not going to change that. That means it's on everybody else. Burns, who they brought in, the young secondary that continues to develop, Thibodeau while he's still here, all those guys. Like, I'm not sold that that's their identity. I'll find out when they play. So they're going to be evaluated, Shane and Dable, on this year with the draft and the players that they have as far as wins and losses go.
Yeah.
And then Dart, the evaluation is going to come the next year down the road. There may be, maybe Milroe pops and he's the stud, and then we second guess the job. Maybe it was Shuck, maybe it was Sanders. Either way, now we know definitively Shane and Dable, however they got there, they chose their guy in Jackson Dart. Now they have to develop him. Otherwise, they're going to be out.
Yeah. No, listen, I don't disagree with that sentiment here. I just want to know how they're going to develop him when you have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston here taking all the oxygen out of the quarterback room and taking every single snap in practice.
So what would you... But
I would cut Jameis.
But they're also trying to win that, so you don't want
I would cut Jameis Winston. And I like Jameis. He's cheap. I think he's gregarious. That he's good for the quarterback room. He's just a... I think he's a good teammate. But where is Jackson Dart going to actually say, not number one, he also, I was going to say hike. He doesn't even say hike. He just claps, as we learned, which is also maybe, a little interesting.
But maybe it's a developmental thing with him where they want Dable, they want him to sit in that room, absorb everything for a full year.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that that's their thinking here, but for a guy, and I'm not clowning him. I mean, I don't love it. I would prefer somebody who's more vocal. I'm not saying he can't get there. I think he's got very good physical tools. I think Jackson Dart's good. Again, he was the second favorite player. I like him. You and I both liked him.
Right. You would have taken Melrose. And by the way, I'm not me too. I probably would have taken Milroe.
But it was close.
Okay,
for me.
But Dable, I just like the athleticism of Milroe.
He ran a 4.37 40 and he's 225 pounds. I couldn't ignore that.
Now Dart fits the mold of what Dable wants. Yep. And I'm not gonna quabble.
Me neither. And by the way, he played like 45 games. He started 13 games in the last 3 years at Ole Miss, and he played six or seven games at USC. So he's fairly well seasoned. I like that.
Now develop unlike
Mark Sanchez coming out of USC and some other guys that were just, Blake Bortles didn't play a ton, and some other guys that just weren't ready to play and they got thrown into the fire too early and it didn't work out. And there's other names that we could obviously throw out there. But again, think about this, guys. This is not a knock on the Giants. It's because I think they had an awesome draft. I understand what they did. But I'm allowed to say, good job. But I could also say at the same time, but I'm still a little confused at now what's next here. Because for a guy who has never communicated verbally from the quarterback position ever in his life, that's okay, provided he's getting reps. If he's on the sideline watching Jameis at the number two, he's not getting reps.
Right, but what gives them a better chance to win this year? Jameis as the backup or Dart?
Well, but
that's
now
why they're trying to do both things.
Well, now we get into the question of how do you thread the needle and navigate that? It's not an easy answer, which is why it's a very imperfect situation. I think Russell Wilson's better than you think. I don't think he's a star. I know that those days are done. I think that he's better and probably a little bit more viable than even maybe a lot of Giant fans think. I think the Giants' defense has a chance to be lights out. So, but I know the schedule is tough,
Whatever.
But I think the Giants will be a much more functional team this year. So, and by the way, they lost five games last year by 3 points. Right. We went through this. One in overtime, 3-3, 5, a couple 7. And the offense was a 0. So if the offense is a 5 out of 10 or a 5.5, which I think it will be with Russell, and now the defense, I think the Giants are going to be pretty interesting and very competitive this year, which means Dart's not getting on the field, which is okay. But again, and I don't want to do this for 3 hours, he's not going to practice, but I need a guy, if he's the future, he's got to get some practice reps.
I love it, BT, because finally, it took 4 years, but finally, we have a direction. This should have happened in year one, if not at the very least year two.
Yeah.
What was the Giants' direction for the last few years? Cater to Daniel Jones, that's it. Where most of us knew he was dead in the water anyway. So that was it. Now at least it feels like, okay, well, we've moved on from the Daniel Jones prior regime. It took 3 years. Now there's the direction. Now, with whether that direction works or not, that's a whole different story. But at least we know that it is clearly on Joe Shane and Brian Dable. Everybody said he had a great draft last year. Everybody loves the draft this year. We'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to hear any excuses. They better win and win at a competitive level, meaning postseason, compete for a postseason spot this year with Russell Wilson in place and that great defense that can't miss, that's the team identity. Good. Go out there then and win some games and be a playoff team. And then next year, start the development of Jackson Dart.
Let me throw one situation at you before we get to these calls. Giant fans ready to jump in. And again, they seemingly did a lot of really good things over the weekend. I think they had a great draft. But Russell Wilson is not playing 17 games. He's not going to make it physically. That's just my opinion. He has not been healthy for a while from week 1 through week 18. So that's not going to happen again. So let's say when he gets hurt, and I hope it's not catastrophic, but it's going to be a groin or a calf. He's going to miss some time. And then Jameis gets in there.
Yeah.
If Jameis is still on the team, which I think he will be, even though I might not, I think they'll keep him on there. And Jameis throws a couple of pick sixes. You know that they are going to be clamoring for Jackson Dart. And at that point, to me, what the Giants do from there is even more pivotal and will influence the future more than actually deciding to make a trade and get Dart. Because if they mess that part up, then it changes everything about how I perceive them, not just the season, but their plan for Jackson Dart.
It will be the end of them. If the Giants don't get this right, Shane and Dable are gone. But at least now we know. That goes for not only the development of Dart, but for the handling of Dart, to your point. If it were me, the way that they have everything in place, it's clearly Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston. I am not Jackson Dart is not setting foot on the field under their, the way that they have built this thing. I would not go with Jackson Dart this year. It wouldn't have been my ideal plan coming in. Nothing they have done would have been my ideal plan coming in. I'm happy what they did in the first round of the draft, but I would have done it totally different, and I would have done it years ago. But in their setup, I don't think they could throw Jackson Dart out there this year. I would wait till next year to do that.
I am very, very curious to see if they've got the restraint to do that. Because
I
think, you know, we're sitting here late April. Hey, Jackson Dart shouldn't play. Hey, we're Knicks, Yanks, Mets. We got other stuff going on.
You know it's
going
to be a conversation.
Well, let's what happens when those first, the sea of boos overtake MetLife Stadium if Russell gets hurt or Winston throws a pick six or whatever other scenario that's not necessarily favorable to the Giants' offensive production inevitably unfolds. What do they do when the noise starts to permeate the building?
Well, let me ask you this. What happens if Russell Wilson isn't good this year, whether it's injury or not?
Uh-huh.
What happens if that defense that's supposed to be their identity now, what happens if that's not as good as everybody expects and the Giants are a 4-5 win team or whatever you want to say down the stretch?
Yep. I still have to bring them back.
Okay.
Otherwise, what you did the other day is a complete waste of time.
But again, that's how you leave yourself. They think that they're better than... At least I think, and I think most people, but they have to go out there and show it. Their plan only works. It's all set up now. Mm. It only works if they have some modicum of success this year, meaning 8, 9, anything above that type wins. And then you say, okay, well, we built this. We're building toward this. Even if you want to say we're bringing Russell Wilson back for another year, but then plan the transition next year from Wilson at some point. Okay, here's Jackson Dart. He's our guy.
Yeah.
But if they lose a lot this year, then I do think, to your point, people are going to be calling for Jackson Dart. People will be calling for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll to be fired. There's going to be it's going to be a mess.
How itchy does the owner get? He's kind of throw out that edict. You know, what do you say? If I'm sitting here next year at this time and it's the same situation, unacceptable? Well, you might be. I think the Giants will be better than I think some people think. But if I'm wrong, there's going to be a lot of temptations to shut people up and placate some very unhappy fans. Hey, you want a quarterback? All right, let's put him in here, even if he's not right. I'm not saying they will, but there will be temptation. And, when teams do that, they are trying to stifle the noise. And when you try to stifle the noise and just mute those dissenting growls of frustration, you sink yourself. And that's going to be tough for the Giants to ignore.
BT and Sal on the fan. Liam is in Yorktown. What's up, Liam?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
All right.
It's been really hard watching the Giants be mismanaged for the last decade. So that's why it's really exciting to see the Giants have the best draft of any team in the NFL this year. And it's because they drafted Jackson Dart. I mean, Dart was the hot chick at the party and the Giants went home with her at the end of the night. And you know, everybody would have wanted some, but it doesn't really matter about the future. We're just trying. The Giants got the hot chick at the party, and it's really awesome. And we can bask in that glory.
Sometimes
for
the hot
bit,
chick has an STD. You never know.
Oh, jeez.
You never know. It's the truth.
Thanks for the call, Liam.
I didn't know how to insert that. Yeah, great. You went home with the hot chick at the party. All right.
I do not think the Giants had the best draft because of Jackson Dart. I think the Giants had a great first round all-encompassing. It starts with getting Abdul Carter, for me.
Exactly.
And then getting a quarterback that they believe they could develop. Nobody has any idea. The other stuff... Yeah, okay, well, Cam Scadaboo, everybody's excited about him. And, yeah, the Giants have drafted tough players. Everybody says the same thing. The Jets are saying the same exact thing. What did Aaron Glenn say? We got guys that are going to change our culture and change our identity that fit what we do.
Yeah.
What we want, our brand, as the Jets are trying to rebrand. Okay, every team says that. It's never, well, the Giants pick guys that don't have, this guy doesn't have a heart. He doesn't play with passion. Like, enough with the... You know, bending over. We'll get into
the Sanders stuff and the other.
Well,
so we have to get into that
yes,
too.
But Hoff is also saying the grades for both the Jets and Giants.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look at the other stuff. You could be happy about drafting needs. The first round to me went as perfectly as it could have gone for the Giants, but we will see how it plays out. Who knows about Abdul Carter and who knows about Jackson Dart ultimately?
If you or I were given the authority to make the Giants draft choice the other night, on number 3 overall, and we didn't spend one second in the war room, watch a second of film at all the players like they obviously did, I think we would both take Abdul Carter.
Correct.
Okay. He's going to be special. I think we all believe, many of us believe that. I think he's going to be special. And because of that, like, even if it was worst case, back to the point about, you know, what do you do with Dard? How do you navigate that? What if the fans are booing? What if you're not winning? What if the offense is inept? What if it's Russell Wilson not doing his job or Jameis looks awful? What do you do? I actually think, like, even as crazy as this is going to sound, even if the Giants were to go 5-12 and Abdul Carter, or even 4-13, that's ridiculous, but even 4-13 and Abdul Carter is it, they're still coming back.
Well, I think that they should come back regardless because of the how they've been set up here. Because of wasting 3 years on Daniel Jones, it's almost like a restart. There's no way this first round, as great as it may be to some people, myself included, it doesn't mean anything if Joe Shane and Brian Daboll aren't here at least two more years. 1 year with Dart as the starter, no? Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I think that, yes, I would agree with that, but that's why I think that Mara, and I've said this many times on the show, I don't know if it was, I don't know how it was communicated. I believe, and I cannot prove this, okay, that Mara communicated to them, intimated to them, flat out told them, whatever, guys, don't draft to save your ass, draft to build this thing out. I believe that they know, again, I can't prove it, I'm not saying, I don't know this, but I believe that they know that they're back no matter what.
My question is, what happened the last 3 years? Was that just an edict from Mara? Now, again, we're going to move on from it, but this is there's clear direction from Joe Shane and Brian Daboll what they're trying to do. We're going to build a team with veteran quarterbacks right now. We upgrade the quarterback room, try to win and be competitive, good defense, and we have a quarterback in waiting to develop. That should have happened year one or year two at the very least. It's year four. So my biggest issue was not necessarily with these two guys. It was the whole plan. And I do think that Mara was a big reason why Daniel Jones had to be here.
Exactly.
Okay, but and
which
then,
is part of the reason why I think he's giving him a little latitude here on the back end to figure things out, because he knows he was heavy-handed with Daniel Jones.
Fair enough, but think about this. There's a good chance this year they're not, in fact, a playoff team, and they are a 5-6-win team. That would now be 4 years and three in a row. You know, the first year they made the postseason, but even that year you could poke holes in it, of course. But three straight years of miserable football, and you're going to bring him back again. I'm not saying it's the wrong move to, but think about what we'd be talking about here.
Well, I mean, they're in the situation for a reason. I mean, it's not a seamless mess. It is a disjointed, borderline dysfunctional at times, complete disaster. So digging out of this was never going to be easy. I feel like for the first time in a while, they've got the right shovel in their hand to do it. And I think the owner's going to let him start digging. Get out of it.
Let's go to Paul in Queens. How are you, Paul?
What's going on, guys? You hear me good?
What's up?
Yep, not bad.
How you guys doing, brothers? Listen, real quick, just so I could like segue into my Giants point. If you can get Giannis Antetokounmpo, I'm not even a Knicks fan. If you get Giannis Antetokounmpo, you move all those guys. I don't care what you got to do. If it's fantasy basketball, anything, you put Jalen and Kat with Giannis, you're winning the chip. But let me get to my Giants point. So we all know the Giants like are going to improve a lot drastically, right? But I think it's even being underrated. Like, you know, I've been here in top 10. I think this – I looked at the whole depth chart. I think this team could be at top five defense with health, obviously. Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau. We know the front, obviously, the rookie Abdul Carter. The secondary is stacked. And I haven't been able to say that in a long time. Paulson Adebo.
Mm-hmm. Just got to be it's his health. New, I mean, your biggest question is health,
the,
dude.
The new corner. What's his name? Deontay Banks had a good rookie year. He's not a wild cornerback. One, he's a cornerback. Two or three. You got him. You put him against lesser guys, he's going to do much better. Andrew Phillips was a monster last year. I mean, I feel like this defense, even though it's everybody is respecting how much better they've gotten, they're still not giving them the respect they deserve. Obviously, they have to put it on the field, but I think this defense could be way better. I'm talking top five defense.
They definitely got better on paper. Can they be a top five defense?
Yeah, I mean,
that's a big jump.
It is a big jump, but really, when you think about top five defense, it's those teams that turn the ball over, and I think with their improved secondary, don't forget that Trey Hawkins actually played well in he only played in two games or one? He only played in a couple games, and then he got hurt, but he played well after being basically persona non grata for half the season. So there's depth and competition.
Him and Flott now.
And Flott, exactly. So there's depth and competition in almost all of their positions.
obviously getting Scataboo does it on offense, and maybe the wide receiver room still is a little, you know, shallow, but they have a superstar in there, so it doesn't, it kind of negates all of that. I think their defense has a chance to be a top five defense, but they got to figure out how to work together.
That's a big jump.
It I mean, is they a big were jump, about 21st. It's easy to do it if you turn the ball over.
Well, yeah, look, but I guess in theory it's easy.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
It's a massive jump. They got to stop the run a lot better than they did last year.
But they will. I mean, especially if they're healthy.
They were like 27th in the league last year.
I know, but Dex is back. They drafted a D tackle who's one of the best D tackles in the game, or coming into the game. You have a secondary that is competitive now. I mean, there were years where the Giants were just putting guys out on the field. Just like, who is that guy? Do I know this guy? Can he play? You didn't know.
Can I throw another question at you? I feel like such a hater. I'm not being a hater. I'm just being skeptical. My healthy skepticism. Do we believe in Shane Bowen? Like, do we love this guy as DC? We convinced he can be the coordinator of a top five defense?
To be determined.
See, I got you there because you said to be determined.
To be determined.
Which means that's a fair question.
You know, he was very good in Tennessee for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of fell apart.
Yeah, and last year wasn't great here.
I just don't also sleep on Chauncey Golston was a huge signing with Dallas. He's going to help with the run and the pass and all that. But
there's depth and competition all across the defense.
Can I give one minor smidge of a negative if people are looking to make the jump to top five defense?
No, you're going to make a negative about the Giants? Stop the presses.
Again, I'm not telling you this is a playoff team this year.
You don't love the linebacking core.
No, I actually do. I think that Abdul Carter is going to be insanely awesome. Let's calm down. Myles Garrett is, among others, these monstrous top pass rushers. They rarely ever, including Myles Garrett, get double-digit sacks in their first year. So just everybody looking to make that big, big leap. It might be year two where you're like, oh, my God, he'll make plays and game-changing plays, but I don't think you're getting some kind of 15-sack year out of Abdul Carter.
I don't know if he's going to be on the field enough to get double-digit sacks.
With the rotation with everybody?
Yeah.
Well, another guy's got to eat, too, and if he gets doubled, that means Burns could have 15 sacks. And that, to me, is an assist from Carter, basically.
Right, but has he ever had? Has Brian Burns ever had 15 sacks?
No,
I just went
this is. I'm going to try to clean this up for the audience. What you are witnessing is a New York Giants circle bleep.
Well, because you know,
not going to use the other term because that's very offensive. Let's just say it rhymes with twerk.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You want to go there, and we're going to have a whole summer to debate this. The conversation we're having over all those Giants fans.
This is an on paper conversation.
It's an on paper conversation, and guess what? On paper conversations are good because all we've had to hear in this town is how talented, while they've underperformed, the Jets are. For once, the Giants have entered the conversation.
We are not a part of this conversation. I'm commenting on the menage a giant going on right now.
He's very aware of this because they've done it to themselves for the last half a decade.
Exactly. We are sounding like Jet fans. Sean, we have all the talent in the world.
Fellas, I haven't brought up the Jets. I was just having fun with the menage a giant that's going on. Or the Giants circle twerk that we're witnessing.
They have the potential to be a top five defense.
I know.
And that potential is an ugly word sometimes.
You're right. They have a lot of potential. I don't mean that they don't. I'm laughing at the three of you.
They've also put all their resources into this defense. There's no excuse not to be a top
five. What else can you talk about right now? I have no idea what they're going to look like because they haven't even put their jock straps on.
No, you're right.
I have no idea what they're going to look like. But I know the talent that they have on that roster.
They have. Here's what I'll give you. I'm going to join the Giants circle twerk. I am. The Giants have more talent on their roster than they did last year, and they better win more games because they're a better team.
Especially defensively.
Absolutely. That I'll totally agree with. I guess there's the jump from they're better, which they clearly are, to top five. If you have a top five defense, they're going to the playoffs. Like, if they have a top five defense, it's a playoff team. I don't know if I can go that far. In fact, I know I can't, but I hope I'm wrong because I'm not a Giant hater. In fact, you need me to be positive, Evie, for the Giants, too?
No.
Actually, trust me, you guys don't need that. You guys got it.
We're being reasonable, Evan. That's what we're doing.
I got you.
They are better than the Cowboys, though. All right, take the next one.
Let's go to... I like how you throw that in there. Let's go to... And I'm not going to argue with you, because screw the Cowboys. Let's go to Ray in Brooklyn. Hey, Ray.
Gentlemen, listen, man. Evan, I give you, credit for being an IBO. Now, don't cut me off short like last time just because I'm in a full-hand competing sport with one of you guys. I greatly appreciate embracing the conversation.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, right? I'm getting tired of the Tibbs talk. There's a double standard in this town when it comes to head coaches. Well, you, Tiki, I'm going to challenge you on this, even though I'm a Giants fan.
Go ahead.
It's hard to tolerate and stomach the fans that you put up of Dable on the time, who hasn't, who cannot, he's not a pimple on Tom Thibodeau's fanny, to put it nicely, when it comes to head coaching and accomplishments.
Well, Ray, hold on 1 second. Has Dabes had an elite offense? Like elite players? When has he had them?
Yeah, he's not elevating anybody. So
okay,
the same
I
way
know, but, I, that, but, okay, but hold on 1 second. Just answer that simple question. When has he had elite talent, other than Malik Nabers last year, on offense?
He probably hasn't.
Now tell me how often Tibbs has had elite talent as offensive players.
This season only, because he was stuck with Julius Randle and Randle only for a while, and he overachieved.
He had Jalen Brunson last year.
And that's another thing, Tiki. Everybody wants to kill Brunson. Hero of all this, hero of all that, right?
I'm not killing Brunson.
Every other superstar in this league. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying in general. Every other superstar in this league, you look at every damn game, Ant is trying to take over. Mind you, Ant was 0 for 10 yesterday from 3 and was horrendous. It was bailed out by a team.
Right.
And like I said, with this, he has made the adjustment. He was top 2 or 3 in offensive rating this season prior to Brunson missing the whole month. They still finished top 5. So what are we talking about here?
We're like, talking about the playoffs. Ridiculous. I'm talking about the playoffs. Right, I don't care about the regular season. You got to where you were. Fantastic. But how many times have we seen this double big lineup, which is basically the only way they're going to get offensive rebounds, which they dominated in the regular season? Right? How many 15-rebound games did Cat have? How many has he had in the postseason? One? Right? I mean, it's just there is an outplaying and an out-coaching that's happening, and it's obvious, right? The whole thing that we started with, Brunson and Josh doing this pick and roll. Like, what's the point of doing a pick and roll with Josh and Jalen? It makes no sense, especially because Josh doesn't want to shoot. And so even if you have him wide open or you get in an open look, he's not going to take it. So do it with Cat, right? Or do it with Cam and Cat, or put Jalen and Cam on the field court at the same time. And it's like it's just there's so many other things that could be tried and done that aren't. And it seems to just fall back to, all right, Jalen, go dribble, 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 figure something out.
There is a big difference between football and basketball, but there's also a big difference towards the discourse around the Giants and the discourse around the Knicks.
Yeah.
And there's a compliment to the Knicks. The Knicks are on a level in which when we talk about their head coach and their roster, we're talking about, can they win a championship?
Yeah, the Giants are just, can we get a winning record?
Yes! Right. Oh, of course. If you're asking Tiki, I'll do it for you, because I think this is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a better coach at their profession through the years they've been doing it so far?
Tom Thibodeau.
It's obviously Tom Thibodeau.
It's not even close.
It's not even close. So the discourse is different.
Right.
And I feel bad for Tom when I say this, but this discussion happened in Chicago, and it's going to happen in New York, which is, we all know he's a good head coach. That's not the dispute.
Mm-mm.
The question is he the guy that gets you to the next level? That's different. And that's what happens when your standards are higher. And we are in a world, 2025, it's a weird time, where the standards for the New York Knicks are a lot higher.
Especially after you start making the playoffs consistently.
Yes.
Which they have.
Yes.
Once the Giants start making the playoffs consistently, we'll start saying, "Hey, Dave, man, you got to get better, right? You got to find ways to win this, you know, win these games." But right now, it's just, can you keep a roster together?
I'll give you a football comparison. When we start talking about Brian Daboll like he's Marty Schottenheimer, yes. Which is, yeah, we're winning 13 games, but damn it, that's not enough because we need to win in the postseason.
I think Cam Ward was the only sure, you know, top flight quarterback in this year's draft. Everybody else had a question mark. Every other player, every other quarterback, there's, well, I don't know about this. Well, I don't know about that. Cam Ward has a desire to be great. You saw it in all the pre-draft interviews, the social media stuff that was out there. Shador was acting like a clown half the time. And we think, because social media has taken over our existence, all of us, all of you, watch some mindless nonsense on Instagram or TikTok or whatever the heck social media platform you're on, and you're somewhat entertained by it, right? That's the world that Shador Sanders thinks he lives in. And if I was an owner of a franchise, a $1 billion franchise, and the success or failure of my team depended on this particular position, this particular player, and this guy only cares about entertaining people on a social media platform, sorry, dude.
You're not of interest to me.
So
because your interest isn't winning. Your interest is being a star. And in order to be a star in any sport, you have to earn it. It's not because you're popular.
Right.
Right? You have to earn being great.
So I agree with you to the extent of if I'm the New York Giants, I'll use them as an example before I get to where I would have taken them anyway. If I'm the New York Giants and I need to find a young quarterback and the future of my job is sort of reliant on it, I totally get why Joe Shane and Brian Daboll didn't touch him. I get it. Don't even have to explain anymore. Yep. My job's on the line. I'm not dealing with this. When I get to the third round, and that's probably where my cutoff is, and I'm a team that needs a quarterback, the view of a third round draft pick is very different than the view of a first round.
Dude, I agree. But
I bring him in and almost lay him the law and say, you need to change, and the expectations are different.
Yeah, but my point is, who needed a third round quarterback?
The New York Jets. The team I root for.
Yeah.
I would have thrown it. I watched it a million times.
I don't disagree.
And if anyone was ever going to get to him, I think Aaron Glenn would.
Yeah, but I think Aaron Glenn is in a very slow play moment right now. It's like, I don't even know what the hell I have. I mean, I guess they're having whatever it is, underwear walk-around days. But, like, he doesn't know what he has for his team. And so I think he wants to get a feel of who the Jets are, personnel-wise, and before you make a rash decision to bring in a very loud, albeit confident, as that last caller was talking about, young quarterback who has, I don't know, baggage, let's call it, from being the social media maven that he's been with his father and everything else. So it's just, I think it was just a distraction that Aaron Glenn didn't need.
I remember a couple days ago, this gentleman called in and claimed he had inside information about the New York Football Giants. Jim in Hartford, Connecticut, would you like to take your bows here on Evan and Tiki?
Go ahead, Jim.
You're right. And Tiki took my little bit of thunder away because it was leaked. And I can't get into all of that, but just a tiny leak, if I could say it that way, and this is the truth. That Brian Daboll fell in love with Jackson Dart because what Tiki said. He worked him out. He screamed at him a couple of times and whatever.
Right.
That, you know, he became a Giant, and he is. Now, he broke all of Eli Manning's records at Ole Miss.
Right.
And the only thing I can say is this. The bottom line is he is a Giant. Is he going to be good? No, that's for somebody else to figure out.
Right.
Not me.
Time will tell us that.
I'm happy he is, and I'm happy the way the Giants draft was. That's all I was going to say. Evan, you know, you're the man when it comes to baseball. I talked to you in what you talked me right through. You and Joe Benigno.
No, we appreciate it.
You're
the man when it comes to calling the radio and saying the Giants are drafting Jackson Dart.
Right.
Because I wasn't sure until the very end. Like, when those rumors came out.
When they traded up, I knew it was Jackson Dart.
Did you?
Yeah. I just felt it. I was like, why would they come up for it? They're not coming back in for Shador. Right? If they're coming back in, it's because they really want Jackson Dart. And they think that one of the teams behind him... Actually, I think specifically...
It was the Rams.
The Rams
are
going to come get him.
No, and that's why... Look, obviously the player's got to be great. He's got to turn into something. But when it comes to the value of what Joe Shane did, he looks great. I 100%. Think Joe Shane's approval rating is the highest it's ever been as New York Giants general manager.
Especially because, as we said on Friday, and Pete, some people questioned it. Like, oh, why give up future assets? You gave up a conditional third. You still had your third round pick. A conditional third... And next year's third.
Does it worry you, though? It's got to worry you a little bit.
What?
I have never seen Giant fans collectively as giddy as they have been over the last few days over this draft.
I think it's because of the identity of all of the draft picks. Right? Abdul Carter, dog. Jackson Dart, cougar killing dog. You got
Cam Scataboo.
You got Scataboo. Dog.
They're dudes.
You got this kid from Missouri. I forgot. Imbo. Right? Yeah, dog.
Dog.
You got all these guys who are just like, I want that guy.
They got a tight end named Fitbone.
Right. No, it's Fidoni, but he tattoos himself.
Tommy Tattoo.
Tommy Tats.
His name is. I didn't catch.
No, this is true. His name is Tommy Fidoni.
Fidoni.
He was in his high school recruit
class. Kind of like Fitbone better, though, doesn't it?
He was the only guy recruited higher than Brock Bowers to play tight end in that class.
Is that right?
Had two ACL surgeries, which is why he fell so much, but he's sick. He loves the pain of feeling tattoos. He tattoos himself all day long.
Dude, wow. I have never seen, and you guys could all be right. I have no idea. I'm the first to admit it's the freaking draft. It's a lottery. I have no idea.
But
I've never seen Giant fans as so collectively giddy over this draft as they are. Like, the approval rating of Joe Shane is like George H.W. Bush after Iraq. Nice. Like, it's through the roof. And even Brian Daboll's getting love. Like, Giant fans are freaking giddy. And you guys may be right. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and throw
I'm just telling you,
it's salt on your parade, or whatever it is.
It's because every one of these guys feels like a football player.
I got you.
They don't feel like, oh, that's a pretty looking kid. God, look how gorgeous he looks in his uniform. It's like, that dude is dirty as hell. He's going to go grind, you know, get hurt and rub some dirt on it and then go bite some ankles like Dan Campbell used to say.
So you're giddy too?
I'm pleased that they crushed it.
Well, but we don't know if they crushed it. That's my point.
Meaning, like, you crushed the draft. They crushed it. Well, and I think every analyst will tell you the same thing.
Every analyst, I am agreeing with every national analyst, local analyst, mm-hmm. they crushed the draft.
Right.
Every Giant fan, they crushed the draft.
Well, it's back.
How do we know that?
It's because of what we don't know until they start playing. Again, right, by the way, we probably won't find out for another 3 years whether or not these guys are actually worth a damn. But what we do know is that, as we said on Friday, the Giants have an identity now.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to be hard-nosed. Get after the quarterback, defense first, and we're going to run the ball.
Watch this. This is a game we start usually in the summer. I'm starting it on April 28th. And it's this game of you take the temperature of a fan base by mm-hmm. asking them, hey, how many wins are you going to have?
Yeah.
And if you ask that same person, in your case, you, Sean Lugie, like every 3 months
not
based on
work.
Time of
not
year.
Not going to work for me.
It's not going
to
work for you.
I know what you're trying to do, but it's not going to work.
I'm not trying to do anything. Like, literally, I'm not raining on anyone's parade because mm-hmm. you're right. Everyone says, certainly people that know a hell of a lot more about college football than I do, that Joe Shane just had the draft of his life. I can't tell you it's not true.
Right.
I'm just saying I've never seen so much collective optimism mm-hmm. off of an NFL draft as I'm seeing with the New York Giants. So based on that, April 28th.
Six or seven.
Six or seven.
Because trust me,
okay,
they're not better than most of the NFC East. They are not better than most of the AFC West. They are not better than most of the NFC North. Those are the divisions they have to play.
I agree. All right, so six or seven for Tiki.
Yeah, Sean, but I do think the getting your asses kicked on Sunday is done.
Yeah. They may only win six or seven games, but they're not getting embarrassed.
They do damage.
Knicks put banners up for that back in the mid-2000s. Sean, how many wins will the New York Giants get in 2025?
A surprising 8-9, hot late, and an ending reminiscent of the 2022 Lions, where everybody falls in love with them ahead of 2026.
Well, that 2022 Lions team, though, started terribly.
Yes.
And then won seven in a row.
I think you're going to have a similar feel, and they're going to ruin somebody's season at the end of the year, and then we're going to go into next year going big expectations.
Right.
Okay. Six or seven from Tiki, 8-9 for Sean. They're going to ruin people's seasons. Tommy Lugauer.
I've been very critical of Joe Shane. No secret there. When I saw they drafted Cam Scataboo, I want a 10-year contract extension for Joe Shane. That is an immediate fan favorite. That being said, they're only going to win six games this year. It's still a very tough mountain to climb, the division, the schedule, but they have an identity, they have direction, they have a purpose, and they will be getting better year by year now.
And the other thing that neither of us, as Giant fans, me, Tommy, Sean, mentioned, we have no idea what our quarterback play is going to look like.
Nope.
No idea.
Mm. I'm going on defensive identity. I think the defense is going to be
really. I have no idea. Russell Wilson could be average or he could be garbage. I have no idea. Jameis Winston comes in. He could throw for 500 yards, but 30 interceptions this year. I have no idea.
Those are your April 28th predictions. We will check back in July and see if they change.
Can I make one more April 28th prediction?
Of course.
The Giants next year will beat the Kansas City Chiefs at home.
Mm. What if they're not playing them at home?
They are.
We know home road.
Oh, we know home road, right? We don't know the
order. We all drool on Monday upset of the year.
When will that be in the season? Because that's kind of important.
You know what?
Final week of the year.
No,
well, it can't be.
Give me in September. The Chiefs stumble early in the year.
Yeah, no, they do.
No, it'll be divisions at the end of the season. They always do that now.
Let's go to Tony, who's in Connecticut. What's up, Tony?
Yellow.
Yellow, Tony.
Hey, I'm Tony Two Shoes. I'm gonna send some shoes to the two of yous. All right, I'm gonna send you some Kane Revive. We're a local company from Connecticut. I'm gonna send you each a pair. All right.
Yeah, size 12, Tony Two Shoes.
You got it. Jeremy Hills. He's a NFL trainer. He's one of our guys. But nice. Yeah. I got a question for you. So, looking back at Tommy DeVito, so you know, he was kind of like a bright light in a dark time, right? He's fun to watch. He played well. Do you think that there's a scenario, or do you see like qualities in him where he could go to another team and kind of really be like a leader, or have like kind of a grander career, especially if possibly the Giants are going to cut him?
Yeah, you know, Tony Two Shoes, I really like Tommy DeVito. He joined us in one of the Boomer and Geo Lives.
With cheese.
He's awesome. I think he was perfect for the Giants at that time. Coming in, unfortunately, he won some games and had success that knocked him out of the top three in last year's draft. Could he go somewhere else and make an impact? I mean, hell, I thought Mike White was going to go somewhere else and make an impact, and he never really got that opportunity in Miami. He's up in Buffalo now. I wouldn't rule anything out with that guy's work ethic and passion, but I don't think teams are going to be tripping all over themselves to try to bring Tommy DeVito in to start for him.
You know what, though? I think the team really actually does really, really like him.
Yeah.
You know why? Because, you know, he's no-nonsense. Like, he had some fun with the whole Tommy DeVito jersey Italian thing, but at the end of the day, he went to work every day, was a good teammate, busted his ass on the practice squad, and he can throw. I mean, mm-hmm. he could really let it rip. So I would not be surprised if somebody else is let go. You never know how things work out. You'd like to have four quarterbacks on your roster, one on the practice squad. You know, Jackson Dart is not going. I would think you're going to have this kind of draft choice. He is going to be dressing for games. You know what I mean? Like, he is going to be an active participant. But if you told me that they would get rid of Jameis Winston, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, wouldn't that kind of be, I mean, ridiculous, though, to sign that guy? I understand it's not a lot of money, but, I mean, you sign him, you bring him in, then before he's even a part of the team, you cut him?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, after training camp, you may end up having to cut him.
Okay.
Like, you know, when they get down to, you know, the real hard numbers and looking at who they think is going to be a good fit and who's going to be a good mentor for Jackson Dart,
mm-hmm.
you know, Tommy DeVito may recognize, hey, look, my time has come. I've had an opportunity. I have played. But, you know, Tommy DeVito may be a good mentor for Jackson Dart. You never know.
Yeah.
It's another thing that they'll look at. They'll look at relationships, the way people are getting along with each other, how the team is built. That's all part and parcel of building a team when you're coming out of training camp.
Let's go to Patrick, who's out in Detroit. What's going on, Patrick?
Hey, good morning, guys. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, Patrick. What's on your mind?
Hey, I just thought real quick before I ask that question, I just want to say I really appreciate your guys' support for military and police. Come from a long line of families and that stuff. So when I hear your guys' stuff on the show, I've been listening for a while. Just love to hear it. It's awesome. I served in 1st Battalion, 2nd Marines, and I was in Afghanistan 15 years ago. Today was the day one of my great friends unfortunately stepped in IED. So to hear you guys talking about it and all the great praise, it really really makes me feel good. So glad to hear it, guys.
Well, of course. And thank you for all you've done. And I'm glad that you can listen and appreciate it. And I'm sorry for your loss. I know that once these anniversaries come around, it's a tough thing to deal with. So I'm hoping you're able to have some great memories today of the time that you spent with your friend serving. So what else do you have for us today, Patrick?
So, yeah, I appreciate it. Always celebrate the day, you know, celebrate their life. But back to my question. So the Jets draft, huge Jets fan. I was a little surprised by them not going, for one, not getting a defensive tackle in the latter draft rounds. You know, that was kind of a position they needed, and there was a lot of depth in the draft for that position. And what did you guys think about them not taking a quarterback either, which I kind of thought was a little surprising.
I would say I would categorize this as a no-frills draft for the Jets, like a substance draft, and a draft that reflects their head coach. I think he's gotten bigger people. You know, you got a big cornerback in this draft, 6'2" cornerback. Obviously, Armand Membu, we've heard from him. He's going to be a perfect complement, hopefully, to Olu Fashanu, who'll be the left tackle, and then Membu will be the right tackle. I mean, I think, you know, it wasn't flashy. There were no big expectations. They got a nice tight end. The kid from LSU is 6'5". He's about 260 pounds. So that should be a solid player for them. The other kids I can't really tell you much more about. Other than that, they come from really good football schools, Georgia, Alabama, and Miami. So you just got to hope that those kids can figure it out. This Arian Smith as a wide receiver is kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, you know I reference Gruden a lot, but I do love the guy. That's one of his favorite.
That was one of his favorite guys in the draft.
In the entire draft, and before the Jets drafted him. So it's not like he was like sucking up to the Jets or anything. He said, you know, when he was evaluating all the players, he loved that guy. So something to keep an eye on. As far as the defensive tackle stuff, we were just talking about that. The Bills jumped ahead of the Jets a couple times and took guys that we thought were going to the Jets.
That's exactly right. And the other thing, too, I will say about this is that you can feel the major shift in the way the Jets are doing things. You could feel it. You could see it. You could hear it in their comments about the people who they've drafted. This is Aaron Glenn, and the influence of Bill Parcells has taken over. It was one of the reasons why he was hired. It was one of the reasons, Bill has been a big person in his background, as Dan Campbell has been, who was also influenced by Bill Belichick, as Sean Payton was influenced by Bill Belichick, and Darren Mooji comes here. So these guys all understand the way to get it done. And it seems to be like they're trying to do everything under the radar, nothing flashy. You know, they're not going to go down these roads with these crazy, you know, free agents and draft picks and all this other crap. It's going to be all about substance for them.
Yeah, and the type of character the guys are, and you talk about the loving football thing. Aaron Glenn has mentioned that many times. And as far as not taking a quarterback that the caller asked about, I'm not surprised at all he didn't take a quarterback. I mean, this draft was really not known for the quality of quarterbacks this year. And, of course, we talked a ton because the Giants needed one and the whole Shador thing and everything else. But, you know, they brought in someone in Justin Fields that they're going to give a real opportunity to be the future of the team. This is not Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston, a stopgap, and then you hand the keys over to Jackson Dart, who you drafted in the first round. They're going to see if they can.
They're going to try to Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Justin Sam Fields. Darnold. Sam yeah, Darnold,
they're gonna,
too.
They're
yeah.
going to try to do that, and maybe they catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe they don't. And if they don't, that means they're not going to have a great season. If they don't have a great season, there'll be plenty of quarterbacks next year that they can draft.
Yeah. And as far, I mean, Armon Membu, everything about him, I love. From the second that I heard him be interviewed, looking at the tape, the wrestling stuff. So, yeah, I mean.
And two things, though, that did come true that two guys did predict. And the one guy is Brian Baldinger.
Oh, yeah, big trade.
Remember trade thing that he put out there?
He said, I know what's going to happen, can't say it, but it's not an if or when, buckle up. And that was obviously the trade up to get Travis Hunter between the Browns and the Jaguars.
That was a great job.